This is WDEL, 20th of June. Mark Fowser. Is it Fowser? Is that how you say that?
Fowser.
Yeah. Support and pushback over bill to prevent local agreements with ICE. Okay.
We got to hear from both sides on this one.
Look, sure. I mean, some people say this, some people say that. You know what I mean?
Got to cover both.
Stakeholders, bro. So here it is. What, if any, should be the role of Delaware agencies in enforcing federal immigration laws? The issue may get more attention during the final 4 days of the Delaware General Assembly in 2025. Wednesday, a House committee released House Bill 182, which Representative Mara Gorman, Newark Pike Creek, said resulted from a collaborative discussion with law enforcement leaders. I mean, you have to say that. If you don't collaborate with law enforcement leaders, then you might as well just forget it. Unless the cops write your permission slip, you can't do shit. That was the first thing I saw. The bill would bar local law enforcement agencies from entering into agreements with federal immigration enforcement authorities to enforce immigration violations or share immigration-related data. It's a great writing from this guy. Gorman spoke of potential chilling effects, such as the immigrant community being fearful of reporting crime. Because it always has to come back to, like, that's the reason. We don't want to kidnap people off of the street because they might actually report crime to get other people arrested. That's the most important thing. This is her quote. When whole communities disengage from public institutions, it makes us all less safe. Okay, that's fine. Dover Mayor Robin Christensen, speaking on WDEL's Rick Jensen show, said this would adversely affect what he said. So he said, it would adversely affect what he said is the mayor's top job, public safety. Quote, when they pass these laws, I will not cooperate. So I hope you've got bail money for me, because enough is enough, Christensen said.
Sounded a little bit like you there, Rob.
I know, that's right. I'm balding gracefully, though. Quote, if the state thinks it can legislate me out of doing my job and my responsibility to my citizens, they better come get me now. The committee released the bill for a vote in the House. Oh, baby, it's not possible to leave it alive, to leave it alive. I guess it's not logical to say so right, to say so. In the shadow of Rockford Tower, behind enemy lines, in the belly of the Delaware Way Beast. Hello, this is Rob. This is your Highlands Bunker podcast. We're basically in a certified bunker right now. It's 117 degrees. the thing that we've set up over there to keep us cool is gurgling for some reason.
The Flintstones era, yeah, cooling mechanism.
Yeah, we're like, we have a block of ice that was delivered with like huge forceps, and a guy, like a Polish guy, brought it up the steps.
We're a little pterodactyl.
Yeah. And we're just blowing like a fan over it. And the reason we're doing this is for you. So it doesn't sound unprofessional and bullshit. So that when you listen to it, you're not going to even hear it. But you don't care. You don't care that we're sitting in 117 degree heat. You sons of bitches. You know, if you do care, you can go to Highlands Bunker, patreon.com/thehighlandsbunker, and you can give us $5 or $10 a month. That would be a huge help. So we have a couple of topics to talk about tonight, and we're doing it with the crew. We're doing it with Bill Martin. Hello, Bill.
Hey, good evening, Rob. I just wanted to drop this. I am drinking a Bloom Energy drink.
Bloom Energy.
I got this at Acme earlier today when I was picking up Pedialyte for my son, and I thought it was too perfect to drink a Bloom Energy and drive over here in my Fisker automobile and then come up here to talk about the state I love.
Fisker automobile. That's incredible. So wait a minute. You have a son.
That's right.
And you have a spouse, a wife. I actually know her, Jess.
That's right. I mean, you could call us. I mean, it's like...
And you work. You have a
Jess,
job, right?
Bill, Jess, and Everett. We're a unit, but I also like to call us a family.
Right. And Jess You both work. Jess is like a marketing executive, and you're an attorney.
Attorney, and like as Hanif says, I'm started saying this myself. I'm proudly employed.
And so, but you're also affiliated with the Working Families Party, and you work and you have a family.
Yeah, we're the only ones.
Huh. That's funny, because I've been reading the internet, and some real mental midgets are telling the same joke over and over and over again. And it is that the Working Families Party are neither working nor families.
Families.
Which, again, was funny the first time I heard it 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So fucking grow up, you fucking nerds. Yeah, I mean, come on. You can do better. We can do better here. We don't stand for that kind of hackery.
No. We rank the slate. That's what we do here.
You gotta rank the slate. Number
or at least
one,
tell people to.
Number one, we have Zoran Mamdani. And other than that, just don't rank Cuomo.
No.
That's it.
He's a sex pervert.
Look, he's not a sex pervert. He's just Italian. As he said.
Oh, you know what I saw on the way over? The New York Times shared a bunch of like celebrities, and I'm putting that in scare quotes.
Of course.
Their sample ranked choice ballots. Graydon Carter, I believe, he only ranked Cuomo number one. Bad ballot, Carter.
Look, thanks, buddy. Yeah, so we're recording this on Tuesday evening. We hope that Zoran just makes everybody extremely mad, because that's fun. Plus, he seems like a good dude. So, we'll find out tomorrow. By the time you hear this, we'll know how mad the Upper West Side is. So, the first thing we want to talk about today, speaking of Tuesday, we had this planned to sort of discuss it, but early this morning we learned that Parker Posey from the new season of that hotel show on HBO has resigned from the Stell Parker Selby, who, again, I didn't even know that they were a representative until they didn't show up for work this year. I had no idea who it was. But they didn't show up for work this year. And, it was kind of weird because months went by and they never, ever showed up. So about 2 weeks ago, I get a little note from a friend of ours in Legislative Hall who says, hey, there's a funny thing going to drop tomorrow. Coast TV has been making a story of the fact that this representative never showed up for work this year, and today was like the 100th day or the 100th vote or some milestone of them not showing up for work. And so a reporter or like a newsreader or whatever from Coast TV actually started confronting Mimi Minor Brown in the Leg Hall. So I was like, well, that sounds fun. And boy, was it. We don't really know this person. Her name is Overturf, right?
Madeline or Maddie Overturf.
Maddie Overturf.
Yeah.
We love her work.
Huge fans.
Huge fans of her work.
A breath of fresh air.
I love it. First of all, just to be clear, before this became like a big story, this person never came to work. They never showed up. Everybody knew they didn't show up, and everybody knew that she had had a serious medical incident.
Yeah, I think there were rumors, because it was never public, that she'd had a medical incident. But everybody knew that she wasn't showing up, and people knew something was wrong with her medically.
Yeah, and I guess, once it got like to March, I think there was maybe some sort of statement in March. And then after missing, 10 votes, the shit really hits the proverbial fan. And I, for one, really enjoyed myself.
Well, the rep was sworn in as well. There was, I don't know if this came after more Coast TV scrutiny, but there was a photo of like six folks and the representative in her home being sworn in for the year months later.
So that photo come out in March?
Something like that.
March or April.
Okay. Yeah. So they swore her in January, but the photo came out in March or April.
Is that right, Carl?
I'm going back to check on that.
Okay, we're
going to
double check.
This episode may require multiple fact checks, not out of malice, our own malice.
Well, but and here's the other thing. As I said, today we found out that she resigned 2 days before the end of the session or whatever. Classic. Hold on. Classic move. You know, 2 days before the end of the session is probably a good time to do it. Yeah, I mean, the point is that it became very obvious a while ago that this was over. Like, if you can't come for the whole session, you're not really serving. And again, it's, you know...
Also, I just checked. It was March that she was sworn in.
So she was sworn in March?
Yeah.
Or the photo came out in March?
Both. She was sworn in and they posted the photo.
So January, February, nothing.
She was not even sworn in officially.
She was, okay.
Then they comically dusted off their hands, like,
You're like, there we go. Here. Hey, there we go. Yeah, we gave her an adrenaline shot and some adrenochrome.
Right.
And, yeah, and the other thing is, I usually don't break character like this, but we're going to make fun of her condition. But if you guys can't figure out what the fuck it is we're doing, just shut it off now. Just turn it off. Possibly go out into the heat. Don't drink anything. Stay out there and die of heat stroke if you can't fucking figure out.
I wanted to kind of echo that too, Rob. And you said something that has always stuck with me during the Kathy v. Kathy coverage. And I'll put a pin in that really quickly. The reason I think, you know, I kind of asked you to do an episode like this is because seeing the footage, the Coast TV footage of this, kind of reminded me for the first time of like that nutty feeling I felt entering, you know, Sussex County, the Kathy v. Kathy trial. And you said something at the time that was like, please take this in the spirit in which it's intended. I'm probably adding some words in there or something.
Yeah, that's probably about what I remember saying.
It's always stuck with me to be like, and I just, you know, I won't even try to paraphrase Medina here because you know, we're jumping ahead in time a little bit, but Medina spoke very eloquently and I think with some truth about Parker Selby and, you know, the legacy that she leaves behind, her condition, and the sort of cruelty associated with, like, just the ambiguity, that leadership, there's a tacit agreement here that we're just like not going to pay attention to this. And it's rude of you to ask. So yeah, just to echo what you were saying before. Yeah. Please take this in the spirit in which it's intended.
Yeah. I mean, the fact is that a human being had a significant medical condition. My contention is, and I think what's happened over the last few weeks has played this out a little bit. My contention is that the leadership of the House are the ones who sort of played this off. Like, we don't know what to do. I mean, Mimi said this after when she got real mad. She was like, we're trying to keep this in Democratic hands, the seat in Democratic hands, and if we have a special election, we could lose.
We suck. We're going to lose.
Nobody likes what we're doing. Well, first of all, yeah, you're saying, like, nobody likes what you're doing. We're going to lose. And the best way to win is to hide it from everyone, pretend that you don't know what you're doing, or pretend that you don't know what's happening, pretend that it's just a personnel issue, and just act the way you act. That's why everybody hates Democrats, because of Mimi's behavior. You know, that's it. You know, it's fucking stupid. Like, if you want to look like a competent representative of people, you don't behave like this. That's it. You know, so let's get into it. Like, there were, I guess it was one day, the day of the 100th vote or 100th day, whatever it was.
There's no way it was 100 days, at least not 100 working days, right?
Yeah, well, let me think. Like, if they work 3 days a week, that's like...
No, it's mathematically impossible.
Removing JFC months.
Yeah, it's mathematical. They don't work 100 days in 4 years. I mean, these people, they don't work.
I bet it was 100 votes.
Must have been. Whatever. It was some kind
not
of...
Not counting concurrent resolutions, because they're not real.
So the So let's set the stage and let's make sure I understand it, because again, I wasn't really tracking this until literally the day before You know, somebody said, hey, get on this because it's going to be funny. It's going to come out, you know, the next day. And I, like I said, I didn't even know who Stell Parker Selby was. I don't care. But I do like to see Mimi get embarrassed. So that was like a big plus for me. So I see the reporter giving like the evening news update. This is the video that was online, right? It's like Coast TV, you know, just typical evening news. It's like you were a kid. And they say, you know, this representative from Milton hasn't been in. We tried to get some answers. So we went to the leadership. And then it's the classic, you know, get when they come out of their office to the floor or to a conference or to a, you know, a committee hearing, you know, the media's there. And they're like, what's this? What's this? They chase them. You know, you see it in national news all the time. They chase them into the elevator or into the train or whatever, you know, and they have these sort of sometimes heated, newsworthy sort of exchanges, depending on how they go.
And the reporter is persistent. I think that's a key with this particular genre, right? There's like a persistence that if your subject is not cooperating, keep going. Like,
yeah, so that was...
It's a staring contest, right?
Yeah, I think there were like three separate incidents that day. And at the first one was great because she clearly... The first one was great for tons of
reasons. So many reasons.
Number one, she clearly didn't really know what was happening at first. Mimi didn't. So she was totally caught off guard.
Yeah, then, when they emerge from the door, both her and Carrie Harris are like, oh, the cameras are here.
Yeah.
Like, this
and then
be cool.
And then immediately, the look on Carrie's face just like just adult, just like doesn't know what to do. Knows if she makes any move that Mimi will probably yell at her later. So that was the second part that was very funny.
Are you this? You're the Madam Speaker, right?
Of course.
Hi, I'm Madeline with Coast TV News. How are you?
Nice to meet you.
You as well. Have you spoken with Stell Parker Selby?
Yeah, I have.
How's she doing?
She's healing.
And she's cognitive?
Is she cognitive?
Is she cognitive?
Okay. She's healing right now. Okay.
So why isn't she here voting?
Have you reached out to her?
I have multiple times, and our requests have never been returned.
Thank you. All right, have a good day.
Madam Speaker, I'm not done.
Okay, I'm done. Have a good day.
Excuse me. Okay.
But it becomes clear that it's like, hey, what's an update here? You know, the representative hasn't been in. You know, what's going on? Have you talked to them?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, yes. And then she goes like, was she coherent? Or I forget the word she used. But
yeah.
Like, well, was she? And she got offended by that. Which I guess if you're a fucking idiot, you would be offended by that. But if you're the Speaker of the House and somebody hasn't turned up for months with no sort of explanation as to why, you're probably going to get this question. So she was like, what do you mean? So, of course, you know, nothing comes of that. And then I think it was the second time they tracked her down. She's being chased, like, to the steps there.
Madam Speaker, don't you think the people of the 20th District deserve to have someone voting on their behalf?
I've already answered your questions. I'm heading to a meeting.
I didn't ask you that question. Don't you think they deserve someone voting on their behalf? Madam Speaker, what's your message to the people of the 20th District who have not had a single vote on their behalf in the House? Why do you refuse to answer our questions?
But at that point, like, she probably yelled at the aides to, like, you got to do the thing that, like, the federal aides do and, like, protect me. And
this is what we pay you $23,000 a year for.
Look, we make you lick our ass for, you know, $11 an hour so that you can step in between me and this person just asking what is... Very relevant question, I think. So they're walking, and it seemed to me, again, my vision's not very good. I only watched it one time. But it seemed to me that the aide tried to, like, get in between them, or, like, and there was, like, a little bit of, like, as the person, you know, trying to ask questions, there's some jostling. And Mimi
please don't push my arm.
I did not mean to. It was right behind you. Excuse me. Madam Speaker, the governor says this is a House issue. Why are you not taking action?
Picture right here. All right.
Madam Speaker, why do you refuse to speak to us? Madam Speaker, what's your message to the people of the district who have not had a single vote on their behalf?
We're in a picture right now.
Thank you for your time.
We're with the Shriners Club.
We're in a picture right now.
Let me jump to the other thing in the building. So the aide didn't close the door behind them. So the door slightly opened, even though it's supposed to be locked, and the reporter just like manages to get it before it locks. So, you know, somebody got yelled at for that.
Over turf.
I can't believe you didn't pull the thing closed. We're docking you 50 cents an hour this year.
Yeah.
Excuse me. We're looking for Representative Parker Selby's office. Could you point me in that direction, please?
This is actually a staff-restricted area. You actually can't be back here.
Okay. Could you tell me where her office is, please?
Unfortunately, this is a staff-restricted area. You're going to have to come out here unless you have an appointment with the legislator.
Well, she's not returning our calls, so we can't get an appointment with her. Okay, so you don't have a comment on her absence here?
This is... You have to...
So no comment. No comment. Okay.
Okay. That's incredible. And didn't they, and so and now correct me, I didn't hear that second part. Did they put tape over the windows or the
Well, that's the one
door?
I was hoping.
What was that?
Yeah, maybe, they were blocking it up. I think
that's the one I had not seen
yet. That's this next one, yeah.
There's one where I think there's another aide who kind of looks like Phoebe Bridgers who comes out to like and like really formally speaks.
Yeah, that was her. That was her.
Oh, that was her?
Cuz she's the comm staff. She's like the comms person.
Okay.
Okay.
You might recall yesterday House Speaker Melissa Minor Brown rejected all of our attempts at an interview and would not answer if Stelle Parker Selby is cognitive. Her office told us today they wouldn't answer questions on private medical matters. Here's what I asked.
Madam Speaker, what's your message to the people of the 20th District? Madam Speaker, why do you refuse to speak with us?
I've already given you this, but here's another copy.
I didn't ask you about special elections. I asked you your message for the people. Would you like to comment?
What a fucking gun.
Make sure it locks this time.
That's so funny. It's like, hey, look, the seat's still there, so we can't do anything. That's not what we're asking you.
Yeah.
Like, would save this shit for the rubes. Like, you're doing a Weekend at Bernie's situation, sort of figuratively. And so these are all completely legitimate questions.
Yeah.
And if you don't think they're legitimate questions, you're a fucking asshole.
Yeah, it's just, it was so horribly managed. If you know this is what is happening, I made this argument. Like, it's come out now that, like, the reason they were holding out on this is because they did not want to lose this seat in special election.
Yes, and that was the funniest part of it, is because the best way to lose the seat in special election is to act like this.
Yes, and that's the argument I've been making since January when, like, Stelle Parker Selby was not coming into work. I was like, well, if she's not well, you're going to, the more you, like, hide it or the more you try to pull this out, we literally just had the Biden thing happen last year. Less than 12 months ago, even now. And there's already this huge narrative about Democrats. And this is a swing district. Like, it went towards Biden, or went towards, Biden in 2020, Harris in 2024. So it's, like, blue now at the statewide level. Stelle Parker Selby, she didn't really do anything. I remember hearing from a lot of people she was not really doing anything during the election.
I don't even know who she is.
But she won by like 1% of the vote. Like, it was very close. Like, everybody thought she was going to lose.
Wasn't it double digit votes that she won by?
Something like
maybe
that.
Maybe 100.
But it's like we are in the best possible environment right now for Democrats. If you're going to run in a special election, now is the time to do it. Trump is insanely unpopular.
Yes.
Especially in the state of Delaware. And you could, if you were just like, hey, sorry, she can't do it, we're going to, like, put a little bit of pressure to, like, have her resign. Like, we'd have no ill will towards her, but, like, you got to do what you got to do. And then we're going to say, hey, sorry, this is a horrible thing that happened. We need a special election. Like, it happened after the election, the stroke, so it's not...
Yeah, it's not like there's any...
It's not like there's any, like, funny business, unlike with Kevin Hensley and his DUI.
Right.
But, yeah, so there's that, and they could have just done that, had a special election, easily would have won. But now that they've chosen to... hide it, gets exposed, becomes a narrative. They have to wait for several weeks before they actually take action on it. It's literally the worst of both worlds. And so now I'm worried about the special election. Like, I don't want it to go to the Republicans, but I think what you really need is a candidate who is going to be willing to, unlike Kamala Harris, as an example, you need a candidate that's going to be willing to step away from this.
Here's the issue that I see. Now you tell me what you think. You probably have a good feel for this. If she resigns and they have a special election, as they should have had, at a time where Trump has just taken office and is incredibly unpopular, at a time when there's masked fucking dipshits doing ICE raids and we're bombing Iran. The thing that they're scared of is you stepping in there and finding a good candidate that people like, that people are like, oh, this person has decent politics. They would rather have somebody who's brain dead and doesn't show up than a Working Families Party-oriented Democrat. That's my contention. And that's part of it, too.
We'll see.
Because they're holding on to their interests are served by having nobody rather than a progressive or leftist or Working Families Party-oriented Democrat. This is why these people are so nefarious, so evil, and so bullshit. They don't, their interests are, like, if everybody died and they could just go on for whatever happened today for 50 years, they would just do that. Like, that's the problem. That's the real problem to me. I mean, because like you said, the ground there was rich for a special election. Let's get somebody in there who has good ideas, who wants to step up. But they don't want that.
You want to put a coffee shop back in Milton.
Yeah, see, that's a fucking KVK callback right there, baby. But that's my issue with it is it's pretty nakedly like they say, well, we want to keep this in Democratic hands. To what end? Like, to cheat? To lie? To make sure that somebody who actually maybe wants to give school lunches to everybody doesn't get elected? Or doesn't give you any problems when you try to pull, like, your bullshit with SB 21 or something else? Like, yeah, Stell Parker Selby, from all indication, was just a cipher, like a nobody. Like, she'll do whatever fucking leadership says to do. She'll do what Frank Cook says. She'll do what Pete Schwarzkopf says. She'll do what Mimi Minor Brown says. She'll do what Krista Griffith says. And we need somebody in there who does what we say. And it's better to have nobody than somebody who doesn't do what we say. Not a Democrat. Democrat, that's fake. Mimi is a fucking fake. She doesn't want a Democrat. She wants a fucking ass kisser. She wants somebody who falls in line. Like that like that empty-headed Carrie Harris with fucking nothing behind her eyes. She wants somebody who's afraid of her, who's going to fucking fall in line and not cause problems. Not a Democrat. We give you a good Democrat. We got plenty of good, quote-unquote, Democrats. That's not what she's looking for. Let's be very fucking clear about that. And I hope whoever's paid $11 an hour to listen to this fucking has a timestamp and tells her that I said this. That fucking numbnuts. Because that's the real problem. And nobody will come out and say it because most people just was like, oh, maybe they'll pretend to run my bill in 2 days when they won't. Stop the insanity. So, yeah, I don't buy it. I don't buy their bullshit. I can only tell you what a great person, an award-winning activist, Cheyenne Miller, has told me. You take every elected official, you round them up, and you throw them all in the fucking trash. They're not worth the fucking damn. Unless they do what we want them to do. That's it. And that's, you know, nothing is more indicative of that than this situation. It's the perfect situation for us. Because it just indicates and illustrates the way maybe nothing else could possibly do, how just craven and stupid these people are.
Yeah, it does kind of feel like they didn't have a plan. You know, I see some parallel with the how SB 21 was kind of handled, where it's almost like if you hope that the problem can be hidden and kept out of the way, that we'll just kind of like, we'll just like let it slide through. That whole Stelle Parker Selby thing, we're just, remember that year she was just gone? Oh, man.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Right. And, you know, so I kind of see that. And that happened with SB 21 as well, right? Like, if anything, it was there. It was sort of the panic grew from the proponents. And almost, so I'm comparing it to what's going to be a special election that I think is going to be highly scrutinized and get a lot of attention and probably a lot of participation, too. And it kind of blows up in their face when you're dishonest about it. Maybe you haven't thought through your plan.
I guess that's the other thing, too, is how... And again, this wasn't like, I wasn't surprised by the reaction. I actually wasn't surprised at all. But it's really telling that somebody doesn't turn up from January all the way to June. Just doesn't turn up. You know that they're incapacitated in some fashion. And you don't do anything about it. And then when somebody asks you a question 6 months later or 5 months later, you act fucking shocked. Like you have no answer for it. You're like, of course I've spoken with her. Why would you even ask? And then to not know like what to say. Like, who's the comms director over there? They didn't come up with, like, a plan in case somebody asks us, hey, where's one of 40 state reps?
Oh, no. They had a plan. It was alternating parking in her parking spot there around, like, Hall.
Is that what they did?
That was the plan, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem, right? It's like, okay, you didn't think anybody was going to ask about this because of the Delaware way, I guess? And then when somebody asks about it, you act like a bitch. It's a little bit weird. It's not. It doesn't paint you in a great light. You don't look like a fucking, you know, like a great statesman, or you know, a great like arbiter of things politic. You look like a dipshit. And we're supposed to like, oh no, she might yell at me. Like, I don't know, man. I feel like I'm living in the goddamn Twilight Zone. But, you know, that's just me. The other thing I didn't like, and I don't know, I think maybe Carl might have some insight to this, is the way they kind of used the staff as like a... In a way to sort of deflect what really happened. They're like, well, you got the staff in trouble.
Mm. Or with like who? You don't ask.
Yeah, like you, the staff's in trouble now because of what you did. Well, what does that mean? Like how, what? Like, yeah, because you're showing them on television. Well, I got news for you. It's a public building with a bunch of public officials. That's just how that works. So, like, I don't know. I mean, they can't even come up with a good argument after the fact. It's like a little baby when you're like, why did you do that? And they can't come up with a answer. Like, they didn't pre-plan it. They just did something stupid. And then you ask them why they did it, and they just say something else stupid. That's not how, like, adults usually operate, like, fully functioning adults. I mean, it's a sad fucking state of affairs. And then to see everybody, and again, I'm so glad that I'm not like on Facebook or like that kind of social media, mm-hmm. to see everybody like jump in to like Mimi's defense. Like, it's just so funny. Like, I have news for man. I mean, everybody knows who I'm talking about.
Don't say it.
Everybody knows.
Don't make me say it.
Don't make me say it. But, like, everybody who jumped to her defense online, it's so fucking lame. You're lame. You haven't done shit. You know what? Cindy Romer, this session, hasn't done fucking dick shit. Claire Snyder Hall, nothing. Nothing. Like, nobody's fucking done anything. I mean, I see you in pictures when the governor comes to, like, protest the president. I have news for you. That's not state business. You know, going to events and showing your dumb face at events, that's not state business. You know, you're not fucking fooling anybody. We're on to you. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, I'm just glad that you've once again bathed yourself in ignominy or whatever it is. Like, I'm just, because again, you hate to be spoken about like this. Here's what I would recommend. You know how I'm never spoken about like this? People talk behind my back and they're mad at me. But you know what they'll never do? They'll never say I'm a dumb guy, I don't know how to handle myself, and they'll never say it to my fucking face. But we say it to your face, and we call you stupid because you are stupid. You can't say that shit to me. You can cry about it, and you can try to use, you know, you try to use whatever power you have to, like, I don't know, call my boss if you can figure out who it is. That's another question for those of you who are taking timestamps on this. If you're writing down your little timestamp, go on the internet and try to figure out who my fucking boss is. Feel free. Call me. Look, HighlandsBunker@gmail.com. We can have a talk about it. You know, you're a coward. You're fake. You're scared. I don't care. But again, Stell Parker Selby, get well soon.
Definitely.
This has nothing to do with you.
And to her family, her caretakers as well. Probably a very extraordinarily difficult time.
Absolutely. Strokes especially are very strange because they affect all kinds of different brain and nervous function.
Mm-hmm.
And I have you know, nothing but good thoughts for anybody who's unwell. You know, she seems like if you're in the state house but you've never drawn my ire, you're probably fine.
Right. Like, you just can't be that bad.
You're fine.
Nathan,
you know.
Gray. What did you ever do?
Yeah, like some of these Republicans, I'm like, I don't even know who they are.
Right. The ones who like sit in the back.
They're like, who gives a shit? Like, you know, Gerald Hawker. Just run your fucking supermarkets. Who cares? You can't do anything. You know, who cares?
Got a quick trivia question, Rob. How many people do you think are on the committee who recommends who to select for the Inspector General?
See, now you're fucking poking me because I was already thinking about, like, all the shit that has been thrown by the wayside this term. Like, that was like, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this, we're going to do that.
Diversify revenue.
Inspector General, we're going to diversify revenue. We're going to get tax brackets. We're going to do this. We're going to take a next step. We're going to do, Yeah, you guys are all fucking phony. But how many people are on the committee?
Basically, the committee who will consider recommendations. God, they probably give three names to the governor.
As the bill is written, there's a committee that would recommend to the governor who this would be, but the bill's not passed, right? It's not going to pass.
It's apparently supposed to be considered this week.
Is it going
to
pass?
I would have to check.
If they're putting it up, I think it'll pass.
I kind of get that feeling,
it's kind of
too.
A sop to the governor, I think.
Yeah.
They've given him, like, two things. It's like the the literacy program that they're putting about $15,000 into, and then this.
This one's only $1 million a year, and they're making it sound like it's going to cripple the state's budget.
Yeah.
Well, of course. I mean,
$3 million over 3 years.
Bill, fiscal crisis.
To be fair, if you're only putting $1 million into an inspector general office, that office is doing nothing. That'll pay for...
What is that salary?
That'll pay
the
person and maybe an office. Yeah. Like, that's about it.
Is it more or less than 10?
More.
Oh, no.
18? It's the entire business roundtable.
It's everyone. It's everyone who's ever paid dues to the Chamber of Commerce.
Right. Well, 14 is the answer.
14 is the answer. Okay, because I was going to say split the difference. Because then a 10 I knew was like a big number, but I knew that over-under would tell me a lot.
Yeah.
So they're going to be like, and does it dictate, does it define by statute who these people are, or not, maybe not by name, but by like.
By role, by title.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of appointments as well. So like the Senate pro tem, the House Speaker, I don't know. I think the Secretary of State. Good thing, and it's like positions like that. The right. Business Roundtable treasurer.
The business Roundtable. Rob Buccini.
Right.
You know. God, Jesus Christ. This state's so fucked up. Ah, man. Well.
What else do you want to talk about?
I'll tell you what I want to talk about. Do you know that Carl Stomberg has a huge story, huge essay dropping in the call today? Today, right?
I will figure it out. Okay. It'll drop somewhere.
So wait, if you're hearing this on a Friday or a Saturday, it may not have dropped yet. But if you're hearing this on a Sunday, it probably has. Yeah, it's sort of... I just read a first draft of it today, and I will say that Carl did give us all like a little bit of a warning that this was probably the angriest thing that he's ever written, which I was wondering what the standard is for him when he's angry.
Right. I thought the same thing because he said the word fuck in the email subject, and I was like, Carl. Oh,
I mean, this is a podcast where you can say fuck.
You can't say fuck in here.
We've established this.
Yes. Yeah, so... Just so everyone knows, you know, I've seen Carl in a lot of different sort of professional situations, we'll say, difficult professional situations where people need to be managed, things need to be managed properly, there's stakes, you know, there's stuff involved, and I don't think I've ever seen him raise his voice, actually, certainly not...
Not in public, no.
No.
Or even in, like, a meeting.
Not even to me. Not even in here. Not even, like, I've definitely seen him upset. I mean, mostly because I've come in here to, like, make him upset on purpose for the for the show. Which, again, it's all part of it, folks. But, yeah, so I was very interested to see what you were thinking. And, yeah, I'm very happy you were thinking along those lines because, you know, it's correct. And it's sort of like, well, I'll let you explain it sort of yourself, but I think it sort of segues into a lot of the topics that we talk about, just like, what are we doing out here, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. So I think the fact that I woke up this morning, got online and saw the latest city council news, which we haven't even talked about.
I don't want to talk about it just because we have people working on it.
Yeah, so we'll probably be working on it. Sure.
But there's, I mean, you can give a little bit of background.
Yeah, so I'll give a little bit of background. So I wake up, first thing I see is a post from, I had seen that there was a meeting going on the previous, so this, we're recording this on Tuesday. I had seen that there was a meeting going on Monday night that was like a big deal and that they were considering removing people from committees, which, shocker.
That's the classic, hold on.
Yeah. New for 2025.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can't be on the committee now because you didn't fall in line like Stell Park or Selby.
Yeah.
So, if you'd just been more like Stell Park or Selby, you wouldn't have been removed from that committee.
No. So, basically, there are two parts. One is the committee removals, which I believe, according to what is public right now, that has been withdrawn. So, they are no longer going to try to remove... it was Sinead Darby, Alex Hackett, and Kobe Owens. They were trying to remove from various committees for voting against rent stabilization or voting for rent stabilization. And the other part, though, which is even more crazy, which is that they are apparently still moving forward with this, introducing legislation to drastically restrict what is able to be done to advocate for things in a city council meeting. So they don't have specific language around this. The stuff that Sinead Darby put in her post was banning signs in the chambers to restrict public comment and to ban signature cards. So for those who do not know, that basically means one of the big things that we've used, that I know the Holmes campaign was using, was you go into the community, you talk to people about the issues, and a lot of times people don't have the capacity to like go to a city council meeting or do this or do that. So you have a postcard that has a little bit of information on it. They are able to read it over. They sign, and then you hand it to their council person, because usually 90% of the time, from what we've seen, the counsel person is not going to otherwise reply to this person. So in response to the rent stabilization failing, they didn't even, like, it didn't even pass. They have no reason to be upset. They're trying to remove all its supporters from their committees and ban any effective forms of public communication.
Or organization. Yeah.
Or organization.
Yeah.
And advocacy.
Right. Advocacy, yeah.
And so this, in context of the Stella Parker Selby thing, just got me very mad. So my 10 o'clock meeting in the morning got canceled, so I spent 2 hours writing this op-ed. And yeah, basically, there has been a long-running thing. We've talked about it a lot on here. So it's not like anything is... There's not a lot of specifically new information on here. But basically, there's this pattern, and it's gotten worse. This is the big surprise for me, is that I really do feel that it's gotten worse since this year, where Democrats are doing everything they can. And this is specifically a Democratic problem. It's not all Democrats, but it's the people who are in charge of the... Because I had a whole thing about saying the party. So I'll be specific here. It's specifically about Democratic elected officials who saw what happened over the last few years, where a lot of establishment people lost their elections, and for some reason their response has been to crack down on any dissent. And so I gave examples. You had last year the attempts to ban protesting in front of people's houses. You had the SB21 drama. You can go back and look at like three different episodes about that. You had shutting down Action Network forms, which I still don't have any official confirmation of, but we have tried sending Action Network forms and they don't go through anymore. We have the thing we talked about on this on one of previous episodes, which is like Frank Cook and J Street coming in to say, you can't have this training here. You have the whole Stella Parker Selby thing. You have now the city council thing. You just have time after time after time after time. And this is all in 6 months, apart from the earlier city council thing. It's all been within 6 months. And then I had a list of other things where it's just, I don't want to blow up anybody's spot, but I have very clear confirmation these are things that are happening. Things like refusing to meet with constituents, not even joining meetings, taking a walk, not providing information to community members, going after people for filing FOIA requests, pulling bills because they didn't want to put their colleagues on the spot, threatening candidates, threatening elected officials, threatening their own constituents, threatening other elected officials in the thing. There's just so many examples. I feel like I'm literally getting a new one every single week, if not multiple. And I've also been getting this, and we've talked about it, you know, the WFP derangement syndrome. I'm hearing from multiple people, because I don't want to put myself or WFP in the center of this if it doesn't have to be, but so many people have come to me and say, like, oh, this person said that this is WFP, that's WFP, yada, yada.
That's WFP.
That is the justification.
Is WFP in your television?
The Democrats.
Is WFP in your toilet tank?
The Democratic elected officials are using to do all this horrible stuff, not to us, not to me. I don't have any effect of this. But it's affecting real people. Like when we talk about rent stabilization or universal free school meals or paid sick and safety leave, any of these bills that are being put, SB21 for fuck's sake, like
plumbers unions.
These do not
trying to invest their money in something that's not a fucking scheme.
Like, I'm gonna be like, if you want to blame me, I'm gonna be fine. I don't get paid by you people. You can talk to my boss. He'll laugh at you.
Here we go with the bosses. Yeah, look up Carl's boss.
Yeah.
You should call Carl. You know what you guys should do?
Call WFP, see how that goes.
Call WFP, call his boss and complain.
Yeah.
Say, you know what? This guy was very mean to me.
Yeah.
And he, you know what? We passed this corporate bill, but he didn't get on board. Tell him. Tell fucking Carl's boss that. That would be hilarious. Actually, tell him, tape the phone call and send it to us.
Yeah. And so, you know, you're not going to hurt me. Like, you'll make my life maybe marginally more annoying. But the thing, and the reason I get really pissed off about this, is that this does not just affect me. This affects everybody. Every single person in the state, because the Democrats are in control. When we have this culture, which has become incredibly rancid and widespread throughout Democratic governance here in Delaware, it hurts everybody. If people can't reach out to and effectively communicate with their elected officials because there's a chance that they're too activist-y, that hurts everybody. And I'm sure there's still some people who are able to do it because they are like pre-vetted and they can go through all the proper circles. But a lot of the people who came, for example, from Sawatu and the Homes campaign to advocate for rent stabilization, they're not WFP. They're literally people that Holmes campaign, they went to their apartment building and they met them at the grocery store and they said, like, hey, here's a thing that we're advocating for. Do you agree? And they were like, yeah. And then they came out and they advocated for it. And now just because they did that and because they were activated by someone who's affiliated with WFP, that person is going to be yelled at, ignored, or otherwise retaliated against by their own elected officials. And that's insane. And I am tired of... I speak very intentionally. If you've listened to this podcast, you know that. I swear a little bit more in here than I do most other places. But apart from that, barely. I'm very intentional about making sure that I'm not overtly alienating anybody for reasons that are dumb. There's plenty of good reasons to alienate people. If they're being awful, like, I use this example in another thing, like, there's a lot of Democrats who are fine alienating, like, a renter who's coming to go for rent stabilization, but they also are fine to alienate a Republican. And I don't think it's reasonable to say, like, hey, your language against Donald Trump is really alienating for that MAGA guy that pulled a gun at the protest. That would be a ridiculous thing to say. And for the same reason, I think it's ridiculous to say that, by advocating for this thing too heavily, you're alienating this elected official, even if they're a Democrat. That it's just an inherently ridiculous thing to say in a representative democracy, which is what we're supposed to have. So that is the reasoning behind this piece, and I covered kind of a big chunk of it right there, but I'm tired of people using our name as the justification for their own shitty behavior.
Yeah, I mean, they don't want... Sometimes they'll sort of feign to this idea that, like, we want you to sort of, be involved, be civic, mm-hmm. go to a civic meeting or do this or do that. But they just want you to be, what do they call in gaming? It's like a player that's not...
NPC, non-playable character.
Non-playable character.
Is you can actually spot them all around the county at the moment.
Yeah, they just want you to be that. Like, you can be part of it. Okay, I'm going to...
It's window dressing.
It's window dressing.
Yeah.
Even people who are, and we know some of them. Some people who, they give public comment every time they're at a meeting, or they go to meetings just to make public comment. Everybody knows who they are. Everybody knows their name. Everybody knows that, like, they have great intentions. It's not that. But they're not organized. Not really.
These are like the Robert Overmillers of the world.
Yeah,
him and
the lobbyists that they live there, like they have sleeping bags in the basement or something.
Yeah, they like the idea. On one hand, a politician loves the fact that a lobbyist is going to come make an appointment and talk to them and give them information and kiss up to them and all that, and or even like. Go and make public comment. I demand that you do this. They love all of those characters. But when you're actually organized and you threaten what they're up to, they don't like that.
Yeah, I think to give an example, luckily it's not something we really get for WP, but this is a thing I've heard from many different activist organizing groups, which is basically a legislator is like, oh, I have this bill coming up. Can you go find people to give public comment? Like, that's a very common ask in the legislative world, which mm-hmm. is like, I've not included anybody in this, but it looks good if I get people supporting it, or I'm like worried that my colleagues will be on the fence about it. So hey, can you go find some people to say they like this?
Totally organic.
Yeah.
No comment. Well, you know my feeling about this only because, my Venn diagram is overlapping right now. Like, I've been pulled into a bunch of different stuff. And one of the basket of things that actually aggravates me, like it's in like the top, this kind of stuff aggravates me the most, is that kind of stuff. Is like, we're going to get on a call and figure out who can make public comment. I'm like, these people don't care about that. Like, that actually doesn't do anything. It makes us feel better that somebody took the time out of their day who shouldn't even have to go there to do this to talk about their experience, whether they've been incarcerated, they've been a victim of police brutality, they have been homeless, they, whatever, whatever their, whatever, whatever their personal, that's used. That's used as part of the show. But that does not convince anybody to do anything. And I get very upset when people are sort of used like that. I don't like it. And I see it more and more now. I'll be like, well, who can get down to Dover? When's the committee hearing going to be? Oh, 11 o'clock. I can get down there and make my 2-minute public comment. I mean, nothing, you mentioned it too, Carl. And I know that it's like esoteric and nobody kind of gets into it, but the corporate stuff, the SB 21 that just happened this year, you know, we knew we were sort of actually heavily involved in some of the work to fight that, as we have been. And we see, you could bring in, I mean, somebody brought in the person who's probably going to be the chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission under the next Democratic president, whoever it is, in 4 years, 6 years, whatever it is. You could bring that person in, and they'll treat that person like garbage. You could bring in the president of the Harvard Law School. Or the CEO, well, not the CEO. They would
CEOlaw.com.
Shoot, if Jamie Dimon or something came in, they'd brick up. You see fucking people getting real big chubbies in their khakis. But yeah, you could bring in any manner of expert who, like, as the liberal thing, believes in science. But like, doesn't matter if you're going against what they're doing. You get treated like a piece of shit. They don't care about that stuff. That's why a sponsoring legislator will be like, can you just find some people to do this? I don't care who they are, you know. I don't have to know them.
Or it's like, yeah, we know that. This is something I picked up on when I kind of started watching this, paying more attention. There's a symbiotic relationship between the public comment and the nonprofits in the state, obviously. And like the grant
symbiotic relationship,
process. It is. Yeah, I mean,
it's like if
you want to continue payment, can you come in and we need to diversify our public comment for this bill? It will look really good in committee.
Yeah, it's funny that you said that particularly, and that's just an example of this idea that. There's certain players that are allowed to kind of give like the essence of dissent, but real dissent that threatens what they're trying to do and threatens the amount they can pay at their hair salon and threatens the kind of car that they drive.
Fisker Automotive.
Of course. Then that's not allowed. You know? And no, I don't want to. I don't know what your feeling is on it, Carl. You kind of said it too. Like I don't want to make it all like this, but yeah, we're going to be fine. We're doing this because we're in a position to be able to do it. Other people kind of aren't, and we'll try to organize them because a better world is possible. Like the amount of suffering that we see because people can't afford their rent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's. And shocker. Yeah, we're gonna organize those people, and we're gonna continue to you. Did you think these moves are gonna stop us from demanding rent stabilization? Do you think we're gonna be intimidated by these moves? Do you think if you hire a sergeant of arms that I'm gonna be fucking intimidated by that? Do you think if you if you don't allow signs that you're going to be able to go to your meeting, your public meeting as a fucking city council person and not have to feel a little bit uneasy because you've never done fucking anything for the homeless people and the working people of this city? I have news for you. All of this bullshit is not going to work. Because we can put our signs in the fucking trash. Right? You can put a sergeant of arms in there to try to arrest us all. It's not going to fucking stop me. I guarantee it. So maybe the idea would be to just engage with the people of the city and the state rather than the people who are trying to leverage their capital here and give everybody a little bit of a better life if possible. This just happened this week. You know what? I'm going to fucking say it. I don't care, because this isn't actually my bill. So Carl and I went to Leg Hall for the SB10, the compassionate release. And I've been tracking that. It's a great bill. I hope it passes. One of the points that I made about it, if you guys remember, is that they put the criteria in there that's like, it's like a means test. Mm-hmm. Once again, it's like, how few people can we help with this?
Heavily negotiated.
Yeah, like, yeah. How few people can we get? So there's a track to get compassionate release. It's completely difficult now. We want to open it up, but how can we say that we opened it up under the worst conditions possible? So we're like, you have to jump through these hoops. You have to have served 25 fucking years or 15 years plus whatever it was. And one of the questions that I always ask is, okay, genius, let's look at people who are incarcerated right now. How many people are going to help? How many people is the end of life going to help? How many people is the paying for college after you age out of foster care? How many people are you really going to fucking help, right? That's my problem.
Just the guys in Shawshank Redemption.
Yes. Right.
That's who they were like thinking of, though, you know, like, right? When they were like,
I know. So,
means
so,
testing this
criteria. So I'm on a call this week about it. And somebody had a meeting with somebody. Oh, I know what it was. Tim Dukes, who apparently is a Republican legislator.
Yeah, there's a bunch of those guys.
I thought it was David Duke. I thought somebody said David Duke. And they were like, no, it's Tim Dukes. I'm like, who the fuck is Tim Dukes? Anyway, he's having a meeting with an advocate for this SB10 and says, you know, I might even get behind this, but we're going to have to, like, is there any possibility we could do an amendment to, like, eliminate, like, the real hardcore criminals, like the murders and the rapes and the this and that and the other? And people were like, well, this is for them, actually. Mm-hmm. There's people who have been locked up for like 40 years who, yeah, they did something bad, but that's over now. Like, there's no point in this, right? That's why we've, like, you know, filed it down to every inch of its life.
Yeah, that's why it's like 40 years or whatever. That's why,
right,
it's
that's why
so
we've
super
that's
long.
Why we've created this list of yeah. criteria, right? So they're like, well, you know, can we do this? And everybody, you know, and to their, you know, most of the people that I'm associated with or comrades with were like, no, that's all bullshit. But then somebody says, to your point, that they had a meeting with Kim Williams, the chair of the
Joint Finance Joint Committee.
Joint Finance Committee.
And the Education Committee.
What?
And the New Crimes Committee.
Can this, what do they call that? The Peter Principle, where a complete fucking dolt. Who couldn't
the rise to the level of your incompetence?
Couldn't think of their way out of a fucking wet paper bag. But anyway, basically said the same thing. Well, we've funded the so what the reason she's involved with this, just you guys know, but for the listeners, whatever, the process by which people can get compassionate release is already in place. Judges review these cases, but the people who qualify for them are like very narrow. You can go back and listen to our thing. What they're trying to do is make a few more, maybe 100 people, eligible to go through that process. So it does cost a little bit of money. Whatever. It's not a lot, but it's something. So now, genius fucking mushroom top, Kim Williams, Realtor of the Year, is somehow involved in the negotiation of this compassionate release bill. Makes me want to fucking blow my head off. She tells somebody, hey, can we, you think we can, like, exempt, like, you know, eight felonies and be, like, Not really. I mean, this is the whole point of it.
So she said the same things as the
Tim Dukes. Tim Dukes and Kim Williams are saying the same shit.
Yeah. Just wanted to underscore that.
Just very good point.
Yeah.
So, and again, I don't know. I hope SB 10 passes. It's in the mix right now. We've got a couple days left, and maybe we can get, you know, a few dozen people who are in their fucking 70s and 80s with their families since we tortured them for 40 or 50 years. Or we can get Tim Dukes and fucking Kim Williams in a room to decide who the fucking stakeholders are. I mean, I can't believe your story kind of like triggered this, because I just found this out this week. And it made me want to, it made me want to do something that we would have to redact from this. I do have a manifesto that, you know, some people know where it is, just in case it has to be, you know, put out there.
My attorney.
Bill's not my exact attorney on this. There's somebody else that I can't say. It's Bill. It's fine. Carl, I think it's fair to say, and I think Bill would agree with this, you've been on one lately. You've been on one.
A little bit.
On a mad one.
It happens the end of every June. Like, it's inevitable.
Yeah, everybody's disappointed you, and you just be like, hey. Look, people probably expected us to talk about the Delaware Democratic Conference or whatever. What was it?
The state convention.
State convention. And, you know, we didn't talk about it because I don't give a shit.
Yeah, congrats to Evelyn. We were all very vocal that we don't really.
I mean, Cassandra Marshall stinks.
Yeah, that was great.
Low energy. Look, she gave a speech. It was very low energy.
It's very funny that she's accused a lot of, not me, because I'm a man and she is fine with those, I think. But she's accused a lot of WFP people of being like mean girls. And it was her own
girl.
Like,
I would like to be a mean girl.
Her own very virulent like gossip and shitty behavior that cost her that election. So it's a nice little comeuppance.
Here's the thing. Her politics are garbage. And I think we and I'm glad that her her behavior has created a situation where she can't rally the votes to get this position. So that's good. But my only thing is, like, you can kind of be a jerk, but just, try. If you're just carrying water for whatever, for the things we've talked about, if you're going to defend the memes of the world because she's the Democratic Speaker of the House, or defend Coons because he's a fucking genocidal Zionist freak, then I have no time for that. And maybe Evelyn or what's her name?
Evelyn Brady.
Maybe Evelyn Brady.
Very also, nice lady. I've only met her like two times.
Don't know her. She could be super duper. I'm sure she's fine. Evelyn Brady, come on the podcast. Tell me what you're doing that's better than Cassandra Marshall. I would be happy to tell everybody about it. I suspect not much. So again, that's our wrap up of the state convention. If you were there, I'm either sorry or
congratulations.
Congratulations. I don't know.
Congratulations, Shrug.
if you, yeah, stop going to that shit. Just stop, Bill. Thank you for coming out.
Anytime. I thought this would be a fun one, and I think it was for a little bit.
It was until we got really mad. Yeah. Hey, my arm was right behind you. I did not do that on purpose.
Check out those Coast TV videos if you haven't yet. I find them.
Yeah, I'll put them
so
in the
pleasant.
In the links. Or I'll put the links in the show notes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. I know that this is going to come out like the Friday before like the last day of the session. And people are going to be like, oh, I'm mad now. you know, certain people will be like, oh, Tim Dukes, you called him David Duke. It's KKK. Why do you say that about Kim Williams? Why do you say that she looks like she has a mushroom on her head?
How many, like, house substitute threes do you think you've created with this episode?
I don't know. That's a great question. That's a great question. I mean, look, here's the thing. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Number one, it's actually two things. Number one, well, it's a lot of things.
It's multifaceted.
It's multifaceted. There's many. It's a multi-headed hedra. You know what? Left is best.